1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded.
Hear, hear.
It's okay.
Support the weak. Be patient toward all. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything give thanks. Rejoice evermore. In everything give thanks. Now, wherever you go in this book, from Genesis to Revelation, you find a form of the idea that in everything you are to give thanks. Do you understand that? That the common denominator of Babylon is Babylon will try to tell you how to change your circumstances so then you will be able to give thanks. And in the name of God, they teach you how to change your circumstances to give thanks. Do you understand?
Or give thanks in order to change your circumstances.
Same thing. In other words, Babylon, by definition, is an escape. Now, what do you want to escape from? That's the arena the Holy Spirit is working on you to say, give thanks in it. Not to escape from it, but to give thanks, recognizing it for what it is. If you escape from it, then you are not enduring chastisement. But because you are escaping, you are an illegitimate child, even if you're escaping in the name of God. You understand that? This is the only way that the next process of this can happen. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, prove or test all things, hold fast to that which is good. How do you test? How do you spiritually test or prove all things? That's what I started to say earlier. That's what all you've done all your life is you've tested all things. You have gone through a process. No matter how old you are, you've already discarded hundreds and thousands of people because they didn't meet your test. You have discarded them as if they were a piece of paper that had lost its value. You've discarded jobs and schools and families and husbands and wives. You've discarded. Why? Because they didn't pass the test. What test? Whatever test that you had prescribed to put on them. The only problem with your form of life because the scriptures say test all things, the reason that you haven't found any happiness is that you haven't been tested. Because you've changed your circumstances. You understand? You can only test yourself by abiding. Otherwise, you will always be able to imagine that conditions would have been different if you had stayed. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Now, do you understand? So you start out in life by testing place. And even if you don't, you know, even if you just live and grow up in one little town, what you're really doing is testing place, because you don't feel welcome in that person's house, so you don't go to that house. So you're testing place. You don't feel welcome to the school, so even no matter how limited your world is, you're really testing place. So there's nothing there that you can hold fast to. And then you start testing philosophies. You start testing religion. You start testing thought patterns. And your test, your thought patterns, what you perceive about them and your response to the test is totally different from those around you normally. You understand? It's what you... You can't possibly accept your peer groups or your parents' value systems. No matter what environment you grew up in. If you've accepted your parents' value systems, you've lied to yourself. Do you understand me? And the reason you've lied to yourself is that you've wanted to avoid conflict. Now, by the same token, if you've accepted my value systems here, you've lied to yourself. You will never be able to understand the God stuff unless you find out that you are fully persuaded in your own mind. Now, think about it. All you've done your entire life is test people. And I guarantee you, you wouldn't be here in this room tonight if everybody else hadn't failed your test. The only reason you're here tonight is for some reason this hasn't yet failed you. It hasn't failed your definition of your own test. Now, I think for some it's about to. Any time that this fails your definition of your test, you hit the road. But the problem with that theology of it's called hit the road theology, it's called changing your letter theology if you're religious, is that you are never tested. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Well, how do you know something is good? It satisfies some, it's a very selfish definition. It satisfies something within you. But now the test has to take on a different dimension from this point forward in this group of people. Because what brought you here was cynicism. What brought you here was disappointment with everything else. What brought you here was so you came here in some kind of with an air of superiority of some kind. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians 13. Well, let's go to Philippians 4 before we go to 1 Corinthians 13. I don't know if I'm going to be able to I don't even know if I can communicate what I want to say in the level of this test. I hope if I can't, the Spirit can. Philippians 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Where isn't your always tonight? Where are you not rejoicing? Where are you convinced that circumstances or someone has to change in order for you to rejoice? Therein is your lie. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your, the word moderation there is a, it's the worst definition, it's the worst translation of a word that could possibly be. It means let your abandonment, it's not moderation, careful, it means let your abandonment, being careful for nothing, be known unto all men. Why? Because the Lord is at hand. I don't have to worry about myself anymore. I don't have to be careful. I don't have to measure my words or worry about whether I'm saying the right thing. I just live. I just be. Be careful for nothing. The Lord is at hand. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds centered on Christ Jesus if you pay your $1,000 vow. What? Oh, it doesn't say that? Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, this next two verses are the weirdest verses in the Bible. And they're the weirdest verses in the Bible because they will define your test from now on, in the next few days, in the next few weeks, in the next few months. And hopefully by the end of Passover, you will now know what they mean, or then know what they mean. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. I beg of you to read those scriptures over and over until they are meat in your mind. And if you catch your mind thinking in any other arena, cast it down. Do you know how often you who call yourselves believers believe the worst in people? Yes. You who call yourselves believers believe the worst will happen to you? You who call yourselves believers, look at the brethren and expect the worst and believe the worst. And therefore you judge the worst. To the froward, he will show himself froward. And you know what froward means? That's a stupid word, isn't it? Froward. Anybody got a definition of froward? It's part of it.
What'd you say? Prejudgmental.
To the froward, he will show himself froward. To the judgmental, he will show himself judgmental. To the unmerciful, he will show himself unmerciful. Okay, go to 1 Corinthians 13 now.
You never got a definition of froward.
You're right. Can you hear that? Can you hear that our minds are created in such a way that our relationship to God is dependent on, I mean, this sounds weird. Do you understand that your ability to be forgiven by God is a function of how that you can forgive another person? Do you understand that your ability to see God as merciful is a function of how merciful you are? Do you know what froward means? Disobedient.
It's a King James word. It's an older English word, isn't it?
Yeah, and it means disobedient. Hmm. It means one who doesn't hear under. One who needs conditions to be right before he can hear and understand. One who needs conditions to be right before he can be in season. To the froward, he will show himself froward. Disobedient. To the pure, he will show himself pure. To the merciful, he will show himself merciful. That's just too weird if you stop and think about it. To the vengeful, he will show himself vengeful. To the fearful, he will show himself fearful.
What does that word pure mean?
To the pure, he will show himself pure. It means pure. It means unmixed.
I don't know if I'd ever met a purer person than anyone.
Someone that isn't mixed with anything else. Someone who you are convinced has but one purpose in life. That's a pure. Now, how do we get there from here? I mean, some of you are in deep trouble. If to the judgmental he will show himself judgmental, if to the froward he will show himself froward, how can God show himself to be disobedient?
Fearful.
The fearful he will show himself fearful.
I don't understand.
God will meet your definition of himself. Can you hear that?
Yeah.
Now that's really a stupid place to be in. Now let's go to first. Are we at 1 Corinthians 13? Did I say that?
Yeah.
I wasn't there.
Chapter 13.
1 Corinthians chapter 13. Remember, there are five different words in the New Testament that are translated as love. Right? And there's only one of them that has any life or meaning or purpose. That's agape. In the King James, agape is translated, or in 1 Corinthians 13, agape is translated as charity. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not agape, or love, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Love suffereth long and is kind. We don't talk a lot about kindness. Love is kind. It suffereth long. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself. Love is not puffed up. Love doth not behave itself unseemly. Love seeks not her own. Love is not easily provoked. Love thinketh no evil. Prove that which is good. Hold fast. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Remember, that's what we started out with tonight. prove, test all things. Love thinketh no evil. Now we're getting kind of, this is getting kind of weird now. Love rejoices not in iniquity. What does that mean? Love doesn't rejoice when the enemy is defeated. Love doesn't rejoice when a slime ball falls on his face. Well, I mean, love thinketh no evil. I mean, that one's hard enough. Rejoiceth not in iniquity. That's getting even harder. I mean, you can't. I mean, you know what? You understand that what that does for your sports?
We can go.
Gee, you can't have any fun.
You know what that has does for you know, for your little high school football team? Love rejoiceth in the truth. Love beareth all things. Well, that one you can understand because it's sort of heroic, right? Beareth all things. I'm long-suffering.
So this isn't like taking your clothes off.
Huh?
Oh, no. Rick.
Rick, if you beared all things, then we would have to bear all things.
Put your feet up. Up yeah. Like this.
I'm showing myself over.
Like I'm unbearable. No. If Rick
beared
all things, then we would
leave. I know.
Okay.
She's got one.
Okay. Beareth all things, believeth all things. Now that's where we get. I mean, believeth all things. I mean, it'll take us a long time to understand what that one fully means. But I want you to understand that the first thing it means tonight is that you believe the best of everyone. Now, because we have proven all things, because we have prayerfully held fast to that which was good, we can now be in a position where we enter a different element of the test. Do you understand? And the different element of the test here now is this, that we can afford to believe the best in all things, including ourselves. Hear me. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never faileth. Now, this is the only way that your mind will be transfigured, that your mind will be renewed. Do you understand? Go to Jeremiah 31. Verse 25, for I have satiated the weary soul, I have replenished every sorrowful soul. And upon this I awakened and beheld, and my sleep was sweet unto me. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of man and with the seed of beast. And it will come to pass, as I have watched over them, to pluck up, to break down, to throw down, to destroy, and to afflict, so will I watch over them to build and to plant, saith the Lord. Now, that's what has happened in us, in our minds. We've been almost exclusively concerned with the throwing down and the casting down. And now we can be concerned with the building and the planning, and we can be concerned with seeing as he sees. We can be concerned with the idea that it's possible for us to believe all things, that there is no more reward for cynicism, that there is simply life. That we can afford to live, 1 Corinthians 13.
I've got to tell you something real quick, because it just came to mind. When we went to this vacation thing, we went to the winery. And this is the time of year that everything is cut back. Everything is cut to its barest minimum. There's no grapes, there's no leaves. It's really, and things are twisted and bent to grow a certain way. All this stuff, and I was up there, and I was drinking a glass of wine, which is the finished product, and looking out on all that, and thought of the verse that says, "Behold, the fields are white
unto harvest."
White unto harvest. Really,
say not that there are yet 3 months.
Right. I mean, it was like I could see.
Amen.
Everything done. It was neat.
Well,
go to Psalm 18.
Sorry, I was there.
Verse 16. He sent from above, he took me, he drew me out of many waters, he delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me. For they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. Now, there's only one man in history that can say that. You have to remember always when reading these Psalms that they were written by the Spirit of Jesus Christ in David, for Jesus Christ after the flesh, for the Spirit of Christ within you now. Now, there's only one way that we can say that he rewarded me according to my righteousness, or that I can believe all things, or that I can hope all things, is when I know that I've picked up the cross, and when I know that for me to live is Christ. You understand? The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord, and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also upright before him. I kept myself from mine own iniquity. Well, how do you do that? I kept myself from mine own iniquity. Do you know how great it is to I want to get into that tonight. I kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his eyesight. With the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful. With an upright man thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure thou wilt show thyself pure. With the froward thou wilt show thyself froward. For thou wilt save the afflicted people, but will bring down high looks. For thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. Now, what happens if we find ourselves in a state other than believing? What do we do when we begin to believe not all things? What do we do when we begin to believe the worst in people? What do we do when we believe, when we begin to be cynical?
Well, we begin to believe, you know, that bad things are going to happen to us.
We say, Father, forgive me for crucifying the Son of God afresh. We don't address the issue, because the issue is a smokescreen. The issue is that God has taken us to a different level of the redemptive action of the renewing of our mind. You can no longer get away with being cynical. You can no longer get away with being judgmental. The judgment isn't the battle. The judgment is the evidence of the battle. The evidence of what? Not believing. The judgment is the evidence that you don't believe all things. That's a biggie. Now, I'm not asking you to go out and believe all things in the universe. I'm asking you tonight, as a starting point, to believe the best of the brethren. Can you do that? Can you take that risk and believe the best about each one? Well, let's go back to Philippians 4 now and see if we can see a new dimension of what we've just studied about. I also want you to think about something. That consider the fact that the scriptures declare that you were chosen in him from before the foundation of the world. You were chosen in him from before your mother's womb. But then it also consider who else that isn't here that was chosen in him from before his mother's womb. What that can give you, it can make you think the best about, again, remember, thinking the best is the mind of God, yeah. Not what the world thinks the best is. You understand? But my point is, you can afford to think the best about somebody that you didn't even, I mean, that, you know, that there is no evidence. They may not even be here. Think about that one. Rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation or abandonment be known unto all men. Do you understand that? Do you really emotionalize what abandonment means? The best way to describe abandonment is, have you ever been in, for those of you who haven't been around the farm, you don't know what I mean, but there's a thing that takes place with yearling calves that is, I've never seen it, or yearling sheep for that matter, that I've never seen it in any other animal. They become totally non-conscious of themselves to this skipping kind of stuff. They jump and skip, and they do it a lot of times they really get hurt. I mean, they're running around skipping, and they throw themselves over cliffs, but there is no consciousness of themselves. It's a skipping, a jumping, that's abandonment. Let your abandonment be known unto all. There's no reward for taking yourself seriously. Let your moderation or abandonment be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You can afford not to worry about whether or not you should pray for that. Just be. You know, we think that maturity is taking yourself seriously and getting it right. Maturity is the opposite from spirit. Be careful for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, and I'm convinced that, remember we've talked about that the peace offering was the final offering made during the day. It was the last offering made before sunset, I mean. And this, what we're about to read, is the attitude of the mind for the peace offering. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, you've been taught all your life that it's somehow the right thing to think about a problem that you may have and try to solve it. This form of thinking says all of that was wrong. Faith simply says, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, or honorable is a better translation. Whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Para has this habit, a thought habit, where, and it doesn't happen all the time, but it happens a lot, where it's part of the high place stuff. She and Barbara does the same thing, except Barbara does it even worse, where if a situation happens, then the process of responsibility gets in there so quickly that there's this whole line of thinking that starts. And the line of thinking is responsible, and it's fair, and in terms of, but it's all bullshit. Because it's all based on something without praise. It's based on something without virtue. You understand? I mean, of all people, there's several others, but this, and when I was thinking about this earlier, that Tyra and Barbara can best be served by this verse 8. Whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, again, remember, we started this evening out by the idea that you would prove or test all things and you would hold fast to that which was good. Well, this is the arena now that has to enter into. It's here. It's the renewal of the mind. So that hopefully you've already tested place. In other words, you've said, this is the ground I'm going to fall into. Now, it has to take on this test of the real renewing of your mind. Everybody understand clearly? There's no more reward here for cynicism or judgment. Okay. All right.
Glad you're here. Man, this stuff is just strapped. So glad you're here.
Well, I'm glad you're here too.
This is a really big deal to me, especially because it's completely, absolutely the opposite of the way I spent my life and what goes on inside me almost all the time. Mm-hmm. It's the opposite of what I have perceived my function to be, my purpose to be. Everything was. Look for the problem. Look for what's wrong. Identify it. You know, whatever. Do whatever with it. But it's like, it is. This turns my role into something.
Amen.
I watched an Exorcist 3 last night, and I really identified with that character. And I know that when I am doing what is the opposite of this, that's me.
Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I've said it a million times, but I don't think mankind prays 24 hours a day. There's no man on earth that doesn't pray. You're praying to the wrong God. That's all that's happening. This is a temple. This body is a temple, and it's a temple for prayer. You're always tithing. You always have tithed. You've always prayed. You've always worshipped. But you've worshipped, you've tithed, and you've prayed to the wrong God. Now, what this is calling for is this revolution in here. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. Can you give thanks tonight? Is there something you cannot give thanks for? The thing that you cannot give thanks for is the scene of the battle. Enjoying the battle there, but not against flesh and blood. It's never against anything external. It's against the spiritual wickedness in the high place. You understand? Where is it that you cannot give thanks? That's the place of your battle. Quench not the spirit. How do you quench the spirit?
Well, one way is being, like you were mentioning before, when we're cynical and when we're
fearful
and thinking the worst of others and worst of ourselves.
Amen.
We quench the Spirit of God working in our own life and our own behalf. We cut ourselves off from grace.
Amen. Despise not prophesying. That's the biggest one. Prophesying here isn't. It's the word nabi. It doesn't mean to tell the future. The prophesy means to say what's there.
Yep.
Despise not saying what's there. Well, how do you despise? Well, if I said what's there, then that... You don't know...
And get my kneecap shot.
Yes.
You know, if you said with Sarah, there might be a body form around you. What?
I rest my case.
What?
So she said,
well, it's because you said I get my kneecap shot off.
About the robo bear.
Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast. Prove. Test all things. Again. Everybody tests all things. They just don't do it fast enough. You understand? Death proves everybody tests all things.
Try this one last thing.
Like my
abstain from all appearance of evil. Really what it means is it's an expression of love. Don't let anything that you do or don't do keep someone else, because of just your behavior status or this culture, keep someone else from knowing the Lord. Don't let some stupid little liturgy that you may have or some little process. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who will also do it. See, that if that last scripture wasn't there, I'd have quit a long time ago. Faithful is he who calleth you, who will also do it. Amen? So, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are honorable, whatsoever things are of good report, etc., etc., think on these things. Okay?